when children are younger, they generally don't have a means of earning any income on their own. They really don't have any way to get money for themselves. Yet, how many times do children buy presents for their parents? You say for Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthdays, and Christmas, and possibly a few that,
There you go.
We can hear you now.
I can't hear myself anymore. And possibly other times, you know, in your family or in your situation, that children give presents to parents. At our house, we, as our kids have come along and been a part of our family at home, we've allowed the kids to buy presents for both Brenna and me. You know, some years it was with some helpful guidance of the other parents. More recently, in the last several years, the kids have pretty much gone on their own to buy those presents. And, you know, there are a couple of things that are certain. One is that we don't let them spend that money on themselves. And two, we don't let them buy presents that are for their own benefits, you know. But at the same time, yeah, I'm no fun. Thank you. That's what my kids tell me once in a while, too. But yet the kids buy these presents. The book of Hosea is a most interesting book. A book about God's love for his people and how far he will go to get them to return their love to him. Now, the book starts with God's commandment or God's command to Hosea to go and to marry a prostitute. And over time, the two of them, or at least she, has children who Yahweh instructs Hosea to give some very strange names. If you're looking at having kids and looking for names, the book of Hosea is not the place to turn. But he gives them these very strange names, all for the purpose of being a lived out prophetic message to the people of Israel. Hosea's wife leaves him and goes back to her life of prostitution. And then God tells him again, go and buy your wife back from prostitution. And then gives some details of the relationship, the marital relationship, between the two of them for a period of time. And in the midst of that strange story that the book of Hosea tells, we're reminded that God is our Father, and we are his children. Though we don't always remember it, we are reminded that we are totally dependent upon him. In this message of dependence, or it is this message of dependence to which we want to turn our attention this morning. To do that, we'll be looking at the second chapter of Hosea, beginning with the fifth verse. If you have a Bible, I'd love to have you turn there. If you don't, there's Bibles in the pews on the backs or on the bottoms of the chairs, or the words will be on the screen behind me. Except for Tim has to really follow along this morning because I forgot my clicker. Not only can't I talk, I can't remember anything. Anyway, in Hosea chapter 2, beginning with the fifth verse, it says, their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, and my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first. For then I was better off than now. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and the gold, which they use for Baal. Therefore, I will take away my grain when it ripens and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her nakedness. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts. I will ruin her vines and fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. God is speaking to his people through the prophet Hosea about the relationship that he wants to have with them and they should have with him. And in many ways, it is a very fine message for the people of God today. The first thing that I see in this passage of Scripture is the reminder that the Lord gives. The God we serve is a God who gives. Now, we look at the metaphors and we look at the way that Hosea speaks to his people, and it may be somewhat strange to us because he's speaking about a harvest. Or actually, he's talking about several harvests when he talks about the grain, the new wine, and the oil. Three different harvests, and also the flax and the wool are all different harvests that God is speaking to the people of Israel through, because they were in a predominantly agrarian society. They relied heavily, year after year, on these five things to be true. That there would be the grain harvests, the early and the late. That there would be a harvest of grapes, that they could produce what they needed, wine and raisins and other things for sustenance. They relied on the fact that there would be the olives that would be harvested to produce the olive oil. They relied on the lambs and the sheep that would continue to grow and provide wool and the flax that was needed to provide the clothing that they could wear. And God is speaking to his people, and he's speaking through the life of Hosea, the things that Hosea is experiencing, and at the same time, he's saying, in the same way that Hosea provided for his wife, I, the Lord, am providing for you, my people. And the people were receiving these blessings from God, but the problem was they weren't using them to worship and to serve God. God is talking about the fact that he is bestowing and lavishing these good things on him, but instead they are turning to the local God. Specifically, he mentions Baal here. Baal was the god of the thunderstorm. He was the god of the rains. He was the god who provided nourishment to the earth so that things could grow. It's why elsewhere you see God withholding the rain through the prophet Elijah, and you see the rain that comes after the prophets of Baal and Elijah meet on top of Mount Carmel. But Hosea is talking to them about the fact that they are taking the gifts that God is giving them, and instead of serving God and worshiping Him with the good things in life that He is providing for them, they are turning to the Baals. They're turning to these other gods and giving them the things that God is providing. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, we find that Baal had a consort, this Ashtoreth, who was a goddess of fertility. She was viewed as the god who would, Baal would provide the rain to nourish the ground, but she was the one who would provide the growth from the ground. She would take the rain and she would create. She was a goddess of fertility. And between the two of them, throughout the Old Testament, we find that again and again, the Israelite people are turning away from God and turning to these false gods of the people around them. And God is reminding them that they are taking the harvest that He is providing and giving it to the false gods. We have the same thing today. We have opportunities that arise because God provides. We don't necessarily live in an agrarian society. Most of us don't rely on the grain prices, and we don't rely upon the cattle prices to make a living. We have worked in industry. We have garnered our opportunities through other areas of life. But there are many ways that we can say the same thing, because it is God who provides the strength for us to do our jobs. It is God who provides the strength to carry out the tasks that are necessary or were necessary for us to earn an income. God is the one who provides the physical strength, the physical stamina that is necessary for us to go about the business of life. He is also the one who has provided us with our abilities. We often don't stop and remind ourselves that God is the one who has uniquely gifted us, who has uniquely created us, so that we have the talents and the skills and the abilities necessary to carry out certain tasks so that we can work and serve other people in return for an income. He also is the one who provides us the opportunities that we have. He may not specifically provide every independent individual opportunities, but He does provide those opportunities for us to have not just the strength and the ability, but also the chance before us to carry out a meaningful task for a meaningful pay. Unlike what our society says and tells us, we really cannot just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Oh yes, it requires, if we're going to do what we're called to do, it's going to require that we put in the effort, that we put in the work, the study, that we put in the physical energy to do certain things, but we're reminded that God is the one who gives. The question then is, what is the response? God was giving the people of Israel the opportunities and giving them the harvest, and He gives us the opportunities and the incomes. And the question is what do we do with them? How do we respond to the things that God has provided? The Israelites, we read throughout the not just the section we looked at this morning, but if you read the whole book of Hosea, it is all about the fact that the Israelites are turning to idolatry rather than turning to God. the Israelites were turning to the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and they were taking the animals that God was providing as a harvest for them, and they were offering them as sacrifices. They were going to the places of worship of the Baal and the Asherah and taking their animals there, and they were taking along with them the grain that was believed to be from the ground that God, or Baal and Asherah, had blessed. And so the grain was growing, and they were taking their grains to Baal. Their offerings and their worship as well. Everything they had, they were turning and giving to these false gods. As acts of worship, as acts of sacrifice, as acts of hope that they would continue to provide. Today we may not have a flock of lambs that we choose a good lamb from, or we may not have a harvest of grain, but there are plenty that we use the blessings of God for that can very easily be the idols that we worship today. Technology is one of the ones that crosses my mind very early. It's especially true that for some of us more than others, that technology, the opportunities that modern convenience brings, and when I talk about technology, I'm not just talking about the little things that we hold in our hands, but technology that we believe that we have to have, that becomes the obsession of today. Leisure. We in our nation, maybe as much as most, maybe not as much as some, but more than others, we value leisure. We value this time that we have when we don't have anything that is required upon us, and we can just go at a much slower pace. We love entertainment. We love to be entertained. Now, some entertainment, some leisure is important. God built some of those things into the rhythm of life for the Israelites. The problem is when instead of becoming an opportunity to repair and restore ourselves so that we are ready to worship and serve God again, that we are serving and worshiping ourselves. When we're looking at me and saying, what makes me happy in the moment? What makes me feel good in the moment? What makes me feel comfortable in the moment? And it's all about me. You see, when we're called to use it for God, we have our response, and our response should be the same as the response of the Israelites was supposed to be, and that is to use it for God. They were called to bring their sacrifices to the altar of the Lord, and they were called to serve and to worship Him in one place before the Ark of the Covenant of God. They were called to bring their sacrifices into Him. The same that we today, we take up offerings. We look for ways to sacrifice for the work and the service of God. They were called to worship God. If you look through the Old Testament, you find that when they came to the temple, they were not just to bring their sacrifices, but they were to come worshiping, singing the praises and the glory of God who created everything and who gives everything. And they were to serve others. They were to take the good that God had provided for them and look to others around them and say, how is God blessing me so that I can bless those around me? And that's how we are called today. We are called to live serving other people. Looking at the gifts that God gives and using those gifts to look out for the needs of others and the ways that we can worship and serve our God. Finally, we didn't read on, but if you would have read on, you find that it loops back and we see God's response. The Lord gives and he calls them to respond. Then we look at our response, and finally we look at the way that God responds to a positive and a negative reaction by his people. Oh, you can just click to the third slide. I'm almost done now. We have God's response. The first part of that response is what he does when they refuse to turn to him. When God's people refuse to return to him, he removes the blessing. He removes the blessing from their midst. For the people of Israel, time and again, we read about the famines. We read about the times that there would be a lack of rain. A lack of rain to nourish the ground, to provide the crops. And God would remove the blessings of the harvests, sometimes by withholding the rain. And there are times that he does that same thing. Sometimes it's by removing the opportunities that we have. God removed, throughout the Old Testament, we read that God removed not just the rain, but there were times that God sent plagues and pests. When there were times when the harvest that they were expecting would not come because something would eat their harvest. And I'm just reminded of my yard. Because the pests came along in the forms of squirrels and eat all my peaches. You know, some years we get a nice harvest of peaches, but some years it's the squirrels. One year it was some kind of bugs, and the next year it was the ants. And God can send the plagues to remove the harvests, one after one, and he does, and he did. And he can take back what is his, and he tells the people, I'm going to take back what's mine. And then you read through what Hosea says to the people, and he says that there are five different things that he's going to take back from them. He's going to take back the wine. In other words, he's going to remove the grape harvest. He's going to take the wine. He's going to take the figs, he says. He's going to take the grain that they rely upon. He's going to take back the wool, and he's going to take back the flax. God is going to take back the necessities of life from the people of Israel. He's going to take from them the very things that they need for life. And today he may not take away those same things, but there may be the job opportunities. Have we not seen over our lifetimes the ebb and the flow in the job market? And the fact that what's good pay today may not be a good pay tomorrow. And the good paying jobs ebb and flow. How often do we stop and think about the fact that God could be trying to get people's attention? Recently, we've dealt with things that we probably haven't dealt with for 90 years, maybe 80 years, but that's the lack of food on the shelves. How many times have we gone to see sections of the grocery store empty? But most of us have lived most of our lives when that's not an issue. Never never having to wonder, where will there be food at the grocery store? Maybe food on the kitchen table, but the grocery stores have always seemed to have some. Or what about retirement accounts? Wasn't that long ago that the markets took a sudden drop and people lost large portions of retirements overnight? You see, the Lord gives and the Lord can take away. And sometimes, Hosea reminds us that sometimes God is in the business of taking back what's His. Sometimes God is in the business of saying, hey, hold on there. You've been using the things that I have given you to go after things of your own desire and your own intents, and He takes away what He's given. But what we didn't read, and what I would encourage you to go look at, is the rest of chapter 2, because what we see in the rest of chapter 2 is the purpose for which God will take away those opportunities. And as we read the book of Hosea, we find that He uses those to woo His people back to Him. To woo His people back to Him, because there come those times when we believe that we have earned everything we have. When we believe that what we earn is ours, and when we believe that we can use what is ours in the ways that we choose, and God will take those things away. He will remove our idols from before us, and His purpose in doing so is not to turn us away, but to turn us back to Him. And He says that He is in the process of wooing His people back by letting them see the error of their ways. They could go on worshiping the Baals, and they could go on worshiping the Ashtaroths, and God was simply not going to give them the blessings. But when they turned back to Him, as He was drawing them back to Himself, when they would turn back to Him, He would return the blessings to them. And today, if we notice that He is taking away those opportunities and taking away those blessings, we must remember that He is only trying to woo us back to Him, to have us learn to trust Him again and to trust Him with everything. As a people of God, there are two things that we have to be concerned about. Two things from looking at Hosea and studying and listening carefully that we must do. The first of those things is that we as people, as individuals, need to make sure that we are not involved in using God gifts to fuel our idolatry. And sometimes that can be a hard test to place upon ourselves. And two, we are to make sure that we are living in a community of believers who is not misusing the gifts of God. You see, unlike Cain, who asked, am I my brother's keeper, throughout the pages of the Bible, we find that indeed, to some extent, we are our brother's keeper. And if not just to help our brother, because when we keep our brother strong, our sisters strong, we find that it is more difficult for us to give in ourselves. We need to be living in a community that is not misusing their gifts from God. and it's a circle where I place accountability of myself in the hands of others, and they place their accountability in me, and together we hold each other accountable. You see, just like the children in my house, there was always, I'm sure, the temptation for them to spend some of that money on themselves. But that's not what the money was there for. It's all too easy for us as the children of God who rely upon the Father of God to provide everything for us, to use the gifts in ways and for means that do not bless Him, but simply fuel our own idolatry-laden desires. And one of the greatest ways to keep from doing that is to use our gifts for God first, and to bless Him and serve Him with those gifts. This morning we're going to sing one last hymn. And if you feel the conviction of the Spirit working in your life this morning, and need somebody to pray with you, need somebody to stand beside you, to encourage you, just need somebody to listen, we'd love to do that for you. We'd encourage you to come as we sing for prayer, or to catch someone, leadership, Tim or myself, this morning after we're done singing, to make those or have those discussions. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.